Jack, and good morning, investors. Good morning, participants. So, do you want me to start, or do you want me to wait until 10:30?
Go ahead. You can start now.
Okay. Good morning, folks, and welcome. I'm not going to speak to you today about property portfolios or property management, or indeed, I'm not going to speak to you about how to get rich. Though I do have a lot of ideas on that. I am going to give you some ideas on lateral thinking and how to employ it to be more successful in any walk of life, whether it's managing property or shares or starting a business or anything else. And I'm going to focus on one particular aspect of lateral thinking, which is challenging assumptions, because I don't have time to cover the whole thing. But I do have a presentation to share with you. And you can link with me on LinkedIn. You'll find me if you search for Paul Sloan. You'll find me on YouTube. You'll find my TEDx talks on YouTube. And you will also find my website, which I'll give you details of. So let's see. Can you now see my screen? All right. And at any time, you can put a comment into chat, and hopefully Jack will pick it up and let me know about it. But I'm going to talk to you about lateral thinking and about the power of assumptions today. And I'll draw some examples, and I'll give you a little quiz at the end, which is a fun thing to see how good you are at lateral thinking. Here are some of the books I have written. Lateral Thinking Puzzlers is my best-selling book, sold about 500,000 copies, and it contains classic lateral thinking puzzles. And I've written a lot of lateral thinking puzzles, and we'll be looking at one or two of those as we go through. And it's a way of helping train the brain, and it's great fun for you and your family, and especially your children. Great things to do on long car journeys. But I've also written some serious books for business leaders, The Leader's Guide to Lateral Thinking Skills, now in its third edition, published with Kogan Page. It's my most successful business book. And in terms of a self-help book, How to Be a Brilliant Thinker is one of my best-selling self-help books. So those are available from Amazon and all good bookstores. So lateral thinking is a phrase coined by Edward de Bono, the Maltese scientist and philosopher who died last year. He coined the phrase lateral thinking in the 1960s, in contrast to conventional thinking, where we build block on block on block, and we do things in a logical, straightforward fashion. Lateral means coming at the problem from the side. That's what lateral means. And the main aspects of lateral thinking are these: challenging assumptions and dominant ideas, deliberately adopting a different point of view, displacement, which is a way of forcing yourself to come to a different point of view, and the use of chance, the use of random inputs. And I'm going to focus on the first of these today: challenging assumptions and dominant ideas. But before I do, I wanted to give you one or two examples of lateral thinking in action. And I asked myself, what would these people be interested in if they're interested in getting rich, building a portfolio, making money? I thought of an example, and it's really in the form of a puzzle. Why would a criminal break into one of the biggest banks in the world and take nothing away? Why would a criminal break into a bank, great trouble to himself and his team, and take nothing from the bank once he'd broken in? And this little puzzle comes from this film, a very famous film, which you've probably seen, 1964 film. Goldfinger, I think it was the second in the James Bond series, starring Sean Connery and Burt Frobe as Goldfinger. And there's a scene in the film where this plays out. I'm going to play you this scene, and I hope you can hear the audio. So let's try it. Uh-oh.
You disappoint me, Goldfinger. You know, Operation Grand Slam simply won't work. Incidentally, Delta 9 nerve gas is fatal.
You are unusually well informed, Mr. Bond.
You kill 60,000 people uselessly.
American motorists kill that many every 2 years.
Yes, well, I've worked out a few statistics of my own. $15 billion in gold bullion weighs 10,500 tons. 60 men would take 12 days to load it onto 200 trucks. Now, at the most, you're going to have 2 hours before the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines move in and make you put it back.
Who mentioned anything about removing it? Did you have a partner for you?
You plan to break into the world's largest bank, but not to steal anything. Why?
Go on, Mr. Bond.
Mr. Ling, the red Chinese agent at the factory. He's a specialist in nuclear fission. But of course, his government's given you a bomb.
I prefer to call it an atomic device. It's small, but particularly dirty.
Cobalt and iodine?
Precisely.
Well, if you exploded in Fort Knox, the entire gold supply of the United States would be radioactive for 57 years.
58, to be exact.
I apologize, Goldfinger. It's an inspired deal. They get what they want, economic chaos in the West, and the value of your gold increases many times.
I conservatively estimate 10 times.
Brilliant.
So there you have it. You break into the bank and you contaminate all the gold in the bank, thereby increasing the value of your gold. And it's a brilliantly lateral idea, it seems to me. One way of getting rich is to make everyone else poorer. Good. So let me tell you another example. And this was a man who wanted to become a financial advisor. He wanted to get some rich clients, people like you, or maybe a lot wealthier than you, to hand over their portfolios to him for him to manage and to him to make big commissions off. But he had no clients and he had no track record. And so how did he go about this? Well, he did some lateral thinking. And what he did was he purchased a list of 1,000 names of high net worth individuals, people who got a lot of money. And he wrote to them all and he said, look, I am the best stock picker there's ever been. I can accurately forecast which stocks will go up and which will go down. And if you give me your portfolio, I will manage it for you. And to prove this, I'm going to give you some predictions over the next 5 weeks and every prediction will be right. Check me out. So he wrote to the next week and he sent 500 a message saying, in the next week, Tesla shares will go up. And the other 500 he wrote to and he said, in the next week, Tesla shares will fall. Okay. As it happened, Tesla shares fell. So for those 500 for whom the Tesla share fell, he wrote, and it's 250 of them, he said, Netflix will go up. And to the other 250, he said, Netflix will go down. Well, Netflix went up. So now he wrote back to the two and he said, look, I've got two predictions right so far with Tesla and Netflix. Next week, Shell's going to go up. And to the other 125, he wrote and said, I've got two right so far. For the next week, Shell's going to go down. Well, sure enough, Shell went down. So now he's got, he bent to half of them, he said, Pfizer's going to go up. And to the other half, the other 62, he said, Pfizer's going to go down. And to those he got right, he wrote and he said, cryptocurrency is going to go up next week. And to the other 31, he said, cryptocurrency is going to go down. And of course, crypto went up or down, doesn't matter. He was left with 16 people. And he wrote to those 16 people, he said, look, I've given you five successful predictions. Week after week, I've been right. I told you I'd be right, and I've been right every time. I got Tesla right, I got Netflix right, I got Shell right, I got Pfizer right, I got cryptocurrency right. Will you now give me your portfolio to manage? And of course, most of them did. And that's how he got going. Now, very ethically dubious, but not illegal, I might say. Ethically dubious, but lateral thinking in action. And that's what we're going to talk about today, lateral thinking in action. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to do that. And the first tip is this, check your assumptions. As you go through life, you make assumptions. You couldn't go through life without making assumptions. Everyone does. You make assumptions about deals. You make assumptions about property. You make assumptions about propositions. You make assumptions about markets. And we do it all the time. But assumptions are very dangerous things. And the older you are, the more intelligent you are, the more experienced you are, the more assumptions you make. And some of them you just get wrong. All right, let me ask you this question. What can you cut the grass with study the stars in the sky with and dry your hair with? What can you cut the grass with? Study the stars in the sky with and dry your hair with. If you think you know the answer, put your answer into the chat. We'll have a look. What can you cut the grass with, study the stars in the sky with, and dry your hair with? I'm very interested to see what's going on in chat. Have we got anything in chat, Jack? Can't see. Anyway, so the... nothing in chat, very little. All right, let's not worry about that. Let's go back to here. Well, the answer is a lawnmower, a telescope, and a towel. You see, I didn't say what one thing. I said, what can you cut the grass with, study the stars in the sky with, and dry your hair with? And the obvious answer is a lawnmower, a telescope, and a towel. But you probably were looking for magnifying glasses or laser beams or something else that you could do the three functions with, because you'd heard similar problems. You assumed I was looking for one thing which could do all three functions. And I wasn't. I was looking for three things. Let me tell you about the builder who built the extension on my house. The builder who built the extension on my house had a brother who died. They grew up together. But while the brother was alive, he didn't have a brother. How come? The builder who built the extension to my house had a brother who died, but the brother did not have a brother because, you should be able to get this one. The builder who built the extension to my house had a brother who died, but the brother never had a brother because the builder was a woman. But when I say builder, the picture that comes into your mind is a man. We naturally assume a builder is a man, a nurse is a woman. An old person is inflexible, an American is loud. We make all of these assumptions about people which are dangerous and wrong. And the builder had she had a brother, but the brother had a sister. So, but assumptions aren't just lightweight things. They're not just fun. I mean, after the First World War, the British and French high commands assumed that any new war with Germany would be fought like the First World War, a massive defensive engagement along huge static lines. And so they built a massive defensive wall from along the border between France and Germany called the Maginot Line. And it stretched from Belgium, which was neutral in the north, to Switzerland, which was neutral in the south. Massive defensive positions. And then they waited for the Germans to attack, which was a foolish move, because when the Germans did attack in 1940, they did some lateral thinking. They went through neutral Holland and neutral Belgium. They used paratroops. They went through the Ardennes forest, which the Allies assumed was impenetrable. They went round the Maginot Line and France fell in 6 weeks. Assumptions are dangerous. This is a photograph taken by a Japanese pilot on December the 7th, 1941, when they were attacking Pearl Harbor. And the Americans assumed that Pearl Harbor was out of the reach of Japanese attack, and they also assumed it was too shallow for torpedo bombs, which two very bad assumptions by the Americans. But the Japanese made a very bad assumption. They assumed that if they knocked out the American Pacific Fleet, it would remove America from the war. In fact, it enraged America and led to the ultimate defeat of Japan. So assumptions, and there's a lot of evidence that generals in war tend to fight the war, today's war, based on the lessons they learned in yesterday's war, using the tactics that they've succeeded for them. And CEOs fail because the tactics that they used in a previous company or that in a previous role which worked, they'll keep trying even though things have changed. Assumptions are dangerous. And a slightly more light-hearted example, this was happened on Strictly Come Dancing, which is a very popular program in Britain. A lot of people watch it. And one of the top favourites, Aston Merigold, was knocked out because people assumed he was safe and nobody voted for him. That's what they believe. So people didn't vote for him because they thought he was so good that everyone else would vote for him. So once again, assumptions. All right, here's a question for you. What is the number of the space occupied by the car? Please have a look at this little diagram. What is the number of the space occupied by the car? This is a question given to 10-year-olds in a Singapore in a test, and most of them got it right. You can put your answer in chat if you've got it. I'm sure some people have got it. And the point about it is that if you start by looking for a mathematical relationship between 16, 6, 68, 88, and 98, you've started in the wrong place to solve the problem. The driver doesn't drive in from this side, he drives in from this side. So what the driver sees when he drives in is 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, and 91. And the car is parked in space number 87. And to solve the problem, you have to change your point of view, which is what lateral thinking is all about, coming at the problem from a different direction. And what I love about this problem is I think it's the only sequence of six consecutive numbers where this puzzle would work upside down. And it's right, isn't it? You did read the first line wrong. You did read them. You assumed. You just went straight past it to the second line, because that's what we do. Okay, here's another question for you. This is a nice picture of a tiger, a lovely picture of a tiger. Can you see the tiger? Now, there's a second tiger in this picture. Can you see the hidden tiger? Look very carefully. Can you see the hidden tiger? If you can see the hidden tiger, you raise your hand or turn on your video. Very hard for me to tell. Yes, Jack's seen it. Have you seen it, Jack? Can you see the hidden tiger? Unmute yourself.
I can't.
Oh, Jack, you can't see the hidden tiger.
I can see the tiger, not the hidden tiger.
Oh, well, should I tell you where the hidden tiger is? It's right in front of you. I love this one. The hidden tiger is written in the stripes of the tiger. If you look at the stripes of the tiger, you'll see it says the hidden tiger. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the reason this puzzle works, the reason this is a brilliant puzzle, is because I say this is a picture of a tiger. And there's another tiger, you assume it's a picture of a tiger. You search desperately in the bamboo to see a tiger's face, and you're looking for the wrong thing. It's not a picture, it's text. Yeah. And because you make that assumption, it's difficult to solve. Okay. Good puzzle. All right, let's have a look at the uphill ramp illusion. Watch this very carefully, please. How can the balls roll uphill?
Magnet.
Watch. It's an optical illusion. All the ramps are downhill. Now, you know the ramps are downhill, don't you? You know that. So you're not going to be fooled again, are you? Watch. The brain still thinks they're uphill. Even though you know they're downhill, the brain thinks they're uphill. So sometimes you can't even trust your own brain. You can't trust your own senses. What you see, it deceives you. Now you know this one. You know that which of these lines is longer. You know they're both the same length, don't you? This is a well-known puzzle, even though one appears to be shorter than the other. But try this one. Of the two red vertical lines, which is longer? There's two red vertical lines in this diagram. Which one is longer? Now, it seems obvious that the one further back is longer. It seems obvious. It's clear. You can see that. It's not. Both the red vertical lines are the same length.
Where the washing machine is, at the back there.
Jack, you're going to have to mute yourself. Okay. So the two red lines are, in fact, the same length. But the eye deceives you. And the assumptions we make based on our senses can deceive us. What's this a picture of? Who can see a beautiful young woman? Who can see a rather ugly old woman? Look very carefully. There are two women in this picture. There's a young woman facing away from you and an old woman looking down. Can you see her? Can you see both? The beautiful young woman looking away from you, the old woman face looking straight down. Okay. And that would be the eye of the old woman just there. And that's her nose and that's her mouth. Okay. What animal is this? Is it a duck? Is it a rabbit? You tell me. And these visual things that we get wrong can be mislead us. For example, here. Sorry about this. Sorry about that one. All right. Mark Twain said this. He said, what gets us into trouble is not what we don't know. It's what we think we know for sure. The deal that you're certain is a great deal could be a scam. The things you're sure of, you don't ask any questions about. The things you're unsure of, you're open-minded about. You'll ask questions. The things you're sure of, you're not interested in other people's opinions on because you know about it. The captain of the Titanic was sure he could race across the Atlantic safely. In medieval times, the study of astronomy was the study of how the heavenly bodies move around the Earth. And there's an assumption in there, isn't there? That the Earth's at the center. And it wasn't until Nikolai Copernicus, a Polish astronomer, came along and said, what would happen if instead of putting the Earth at the center of the solar system, we put the sun at the center? He was able to explain the motions of the planets much better by changing his view, by challenging an assumption. Henry Ford was a great innovator. And in the early days of the Ford Motor Company, if he had a candidate for a senior position, he would take the candidate out for lunch. He would order soup and he would watch. If the person he was interviewing put salt or pepper into their soup before they tasted it, Ford would not hire them. He didn't want somebody who made assumptions. He wanted somebody who would test a situation before they took action. Somebody would taste the soup to see how salty it was before they added salt or pepper. What kind of person are you? Do you add salt to your soup before you've tasted it? Do you take action before you've checked all the assumptions? Guglielmo Marconi was a young Italian who came to Great Britain in 1903, I think it was, to test his theory it was possible to send radio waves across the Atlantic. And the experts all scoffed at him. They said, let's look at the facts. What do we know? We know the Earth is a giant sphere. We know that radio waves travel in straight lines. You send a straight line off the edge of a sphere, it's going to go into space. You'll never hear from it again. Marconi said, I'm going to try anyway. And he set up his transmitter in Cornwall. He set up his receiver in Newfoundland. And guess what? The signal was received. Well, why? Well, unbeknown to Marconi, unbeknown to the experts, there was a charge layer around the Earth called the ionosphere, which reflected the signal. And great thinkers, lateral thinkers, innovators don't trust theories. They don't trust models. They don't trust spreadsheets. They trust experiments. They trust trying things in the real world. Because the assumptions you make in any model might just be wrong. Okay, here's another little video.
And it'll be an exercise and building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in. And we're gonna ask you to fall and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall. Okay? One, two, three.
No, wait, no, no! I just love that video. All right. And it's based on assumptions and communication. You assume you've communicated correctly, but you haven't. You've got to check that your communication has been received. How do you check your assumptions? You check your assumptions by asking searching questions, by asking intelligent questions. And that's what lateral thinking puzzles are all about, asking the right questions. And in business and in every walk of life, you've got to go back and ask very basic questions, childlike questions, to figure out what's really going on here and to check whether the assumptions you've made are correct. Here's somebody who did that. Travis Kalanick was at a conference in Paris in 2009 and he couldn't get a taxi. There's always a shortage of taxis in Paris because they restrict the number of licenses. And most people would assume, well, if you've got to catch the metro or catch a bus or walk or wait for a taxi. But he said, no, what if I could harness the unused capacity of all the drivers in Paris who'd be quite happy to give me a lift for a small fee? And he created Uber based on that one experience. And Uber is a taxi company that doesn't have any taxis. So what it's got is an app. And it puts people together with people who are prepared to give them a lift for a fee. And they have dynamic pricing. So the pricing changes depending upon demand. And you can rate the driver and the driver can rate you. It's a completely different business model from a taxi company. No taxi company could migrate into Uber. You have to have a completely different mindset, a completely different business model, a completely different piece of lateral thinking to get there. Okay. So you have to recognize that we all make assumptions and we do it all the time and they can be dangerous. You have to ask very basic questions. You have to list the ground rules and then ask, what if the opposite were true? And this is a very powerful lateral thinking question that you can ask. What if the opposite were true? And you have to think like an outsider, think like an immigrant, think like somebody who's never been in this situation before. The fact that you're immersed in this situation gives you a frame of reference which can blind you to new possibilities. And that's why often it's immigrants, it's people like Elon Musk who come to the USA who are able to create new things. Restate the situation in completely different terms is another technique that you can use. And I teach all of these on my lateral thinking masterclass course, which I'm about to make you an offer on. But first of all, we're going to do the Wally test. I want you to get pencil and paper, please. Can you get pencil and paper? I'm going to give you 10 questions and I want to see how many you can get right. And I must warn you now, these are all nasty, low, mean, trick questions. You might think you've got the right answer, but if it's not my answer, you have not got the right answer. All right. So here are the 10 questions. They're not too difficult, but they are tricky and they're designed to catch you out. If a ton of coal costs $30 and a ton of coke costs $25, what do you think a ton of firewood will come to? What's your best estimate? A ton of coal and coking coal, then $25. What will a ton of firewood come to? Write down your best estimate. Number two, medical question. Removing an appendix is called an appendectomy. Removing tonsils is called a tonsillectomy. What is the correct term for it when they remove a growth from your head? Write down the right answer, please, Jack and Suraj, Lehman, Alan Edwards. Write down your answers, please. The medical question. Question number three. Why do Chinese men eat more rice than Japanese men? Why do Chinese men eat more rice than Japanese men? Write down your answer, please. Question number four. How many cubic meters of earth are there in a hole measuring 3 meters deep by 4 meters wide by 5 meters long? How many cubic meters of earth are there in that hole? Can we do the calculation, please? And write down your answer. Question number five. Why are Boy Scouts not allowed to have neckerchiefs any longer? You know, they had neckerchiefs. Well, they're not allowed to have neckerchiefs any longer. Why is that? Okay, we'll pause for a moment. You can read those questions. Have you got five answers written down? How hard can it be? Okay, question number six coming up. My favorite question. What three things that you can eat can you never have for breakfast? What three things that you can eat can you never eat for breakfast? Question, and when you see the answer, you'll know. You've never eaten these, so you've eaten these things, but you've never eaten them for breakfast, I can assure you. Question number seven, simple one. Which is greater, 6 dozen dozen or half a dozen dozen? Which is greater, 6 dozen dozen or half a dozen dozen? Question number 8 is a religious question. A Muslim living in England cannot be buried on church ground, even if he converts to Christianity. Why not? True, this. A Muslim living in England cannot be buried on church ground, even if he converts to become a Christian. Why not? Question number 9. What do you always get hanging from apple trees? Any time of year, what do you always get hanging from apple trees? And question number 10. If it took 8 men 10 hours to build a wall, how long would it take 4 men to build it? If it took 8 men 10 hours to build a wall, how long would it take 4 men to build it? So you've got 10 answers. I want you to calculate your score when I give you. Only my answers count, by the way. So question number 1. If a ton of coal cost 8, you can unmute yourself and shout out the answer if you think you know it. If a ton of coal costs $30, a ton of coke costs $25, what will a ton of firewood come to?
1,000 kilogram.
No. good answer. The answer is ash or ashes. It will come to means what will it become? It will become ash or ashes is the answer I'm looking for. Question number 2, the medical question. Removing an appendix is called an appendectomy. Removing tonsils is called a tonsillectomy. What is it called when they remove a growth from your head? Anyone?
Haircut
is the right answer. That's the correct technical term. I will accept shave as well, but a haircut is the when they remove a growth. Did you get that one, Jack? Okay, question number 3.
I didn't.
Why do Chinese men eat more rice than Japanese men? Anybody?
Someone has said because there's more of them.
There's more of them. There's 10 times as many, correct? Chinese men in total eat a lot more rice than Chinese because there's more of them, is the right answer. Yeah, you're getting the hang of it now.
It wasn't me. Someone here said it did more of them. I didn't know.
How many cubic meters of earth are there in a hole measuring 3 by 4 by 5?
Zero.
There's no earth. It's a hole. It's empty. No, there are no cubic. It's the right answer. Question number 5. Why are Boy Scouts not allowed to have neckerchiefs any longer?
Fixed length.
Nearly. It's not quite what I'm looking for. It may be right. The answer is they're long enough already. So they're not going to have them any longer in length because they're long enough already. You assumed longer in time, didn't you? Why are Boy Scouts not allowed to have neckerchiefs any longer? It's not longer in time, it's longer in length because they're long enough already is the answer I'm looking for. Fixed length, I'll accept. Question number 6, what 3 things that you can eat can you never have for breakfast, Jack? Come on, somebody. Anybody, unmute.
No.
Lunch, dinner and supper are the answers, or lunch, dinner and tea if you're in the north of England. Your lunch is not your breakfast and your dinner's not your breakfast by definition. So lunch, dinner and supper, or lunch, dinner and tea. Which is greater, 6 dozen dozen or half a dozen dozen?
Same.
The same. No, they're not. 6 times 12 times 12 or 6 times 12. 6 dozen dozen is 12 times as many as half a dozen dozen. And the problem is the brain hears the same number of syllables, 6 dozen dozen. Half a dozen dozen. The brain thinks they're the same because it's the same number of syllables, but they're not. If you do the maths, it's 6 times 12 times 12 or 6 times 12.
Yeah.
I know. Why do we fall for that? Now then, the religious question. A Muslim living in England cannot be buried on church ground, even if he converts to Christianity. Why not? Anybody?
He's not there.
He's not dead. He's living. We don't bury living people in England. It's because he's living that he can't be buried. Nothing to do with religion at all. All right, I love it. Question number 9. What do you always get hanging from apple trees?
Twigs.
Leaves.
No.
Branches.
No.
Apples.
No. The answer is sore arms. Trust me, if you try it. You hang on to an apple tree, you'll get sore arms. I know, it's a corny one. If it took 8 men 10 hours to build a wall, how long would it take 4 men to build it?
Well, I put 0.
It's the right answer, Al, because it's the 8 men built it. So it's built already. So the 4 men, they don't need to build it. So the answer is 0. Correct. All right. Now, I want you to add up the answers. How many did you get right? How many did you get, Al? Al Sabi?
Let's see. I got 8.
No, you didn't. Yeah. Nobody gets 8. Did you get 8? You're a lateral thinker. You are, Al. Six or seven is a very good score, generally speaking, in this. But if you've got 8, then you've done very, very well. Congratulations. If normally when I do this in conferences, I give a copy of my book to anybody who gets the most, but I can't do that here. All right. So I do have a course which is on which covers the details of lateral thinking, a lot of depth. It's about 2 hours of videos. You can download them all and you can go through it. It's normally £79, but I'm going to offer you a 40% discount because you're on this call with me, and you'll find the details here. It's on destination-innovation.teachable.com. And the coupon you need to get the 40% discount is LTWeb.
Can you share the link in the chat box to make it easy to copy, please?
Yes, I will do that now. Just a minute. Oh, that's a good thing. I'll do that in a moment. Okay. And that's me. These are some of my books: Lateral Thinking Puzzlers, Leader's Guide to Lateral Thinking Skills, How to Be a Brilliant Thinker. I'm going to stop share, and I'm going to ask. So, can you put in, please, how many answers you got right in the quality test in the chat? I'm interested to know. And I will put in my. Link, if I can find it. Take me a moment. I'll also, you can link with me on LinkedIn, and you can see me on YouTube, and you can find my website, which is destinationinnovation.com. Just a minute, I'll just find this link. I'm just finding this link. And I'll post it, and I'll give you the link with the actual coupon code embedded in it as well. So what did you think of that? Any questions or comments? Just simply unmute and say, Paul, what a load of rubbish. I disagree with all of it. Or Paul, that was wonderful. I want you to come and speak at my conference. When I speak on cruises, and when I speak on cruises, what I say at the end is, if any of you got any questions to ask me, come up to me anytime on the cruise and ask me the question. And a very good question to ask me is, Paul, what kind of drink would you like? All right, that is the link, which I've now put in the chat. All right. Any other questions? The lateral thinking puzzles are not like the Wally test. The Wally test is really all little riddles. The lateral thinking puzzles are more detailed, where you have to ask a lot of questions to figure out what's going on. Any questions? Can you put the slide of the books again, please, says Suraj. Well, if you go on Amazon, Suraj, you'll find all my books. If you search for Paul Sloan, I've got about 20 books on there. Lateral Thinking Puzzlers is the best-selling lateral thinking puzzle book. The Leader's Guide to Lateral Thinking Skills and How to Be a Brilliant Thinker were the three that I showed, but I've got a lot of other books as well. Anyone else got any questions? I will put in... and I've just put in my email address. If you want to email me, or you can link with me on LinkedIn, and you get my newsletter, which I send out a couple of times a month, which has puzzles and other stuff in it. But by all means, get in touch. Any questions? What scores did you get in the Wally? What did you get, Alan Edwards? What did you get in the Wally test? Unmute yourself. You have to press the little red.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah, two. two is respectable. All right. But this young woman, Al, she got eight, she claimed. That's an amazing score. Al Sabi, where are you, Al? Where are you sitting? Yep, I believe you now. Where are you?
I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah, but which country?
In Hampshire, in England.
Whereabouts in Hampshire?
Basingstoke.
Basingstoke's just down the road from me. I'm in Camberley. Next stop on the M3. I used to work in Basingstoke.
Nice.
So who would have thought a lateral thinker dwelling in Basingstoke? Very good. Congratulations. Any other questions or comments?
Hi, Paul. Do you do talks at property events?
Sorry?
Do you do talks at property events?
I do talks at all sorts of events. I do a lot of talks in schools.
Yeah.
And mainly business events, mainly corporate away days, things like that. Anyone who wants a little dose of lateral thinking for their team.
Yeah.
So I'm not particularly focused on property at all. But if you want me to speak at your event, then you'll have to, all you have to do is ask me nicely.
Okay, will do. I'll connect with you on LinkedIn.
Connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll find me there, Paul Sloan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, at this stage, I'll hand back to Jack.
I'm actually taking over from Jack as the
coach. Oh, are you?
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much.
Folake.
Yes. Brilliant. Good. Thank you. Really great session, Paul.